The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side in issue number 97, DC Fandom. John and I go right down the list. We talk about everything that meant something to us in this. It was a pretty big weekend as far as DC goes. Yeah, DC was a pretty big presence at Fandom. I can say that for sure. We also touch on a little Disney Plus stuff and a little bit of a sneak peek behind our opinion on Lucifer so far. So, without further ado, let's get into the store for some comic book conversation. Good Monday morning, John. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be back here at Arkham Comics and Games. So
always.
Yep. So perfect to be in Arkham after this weekend.
Yes.
It's a pretty big weekend, I gotta say.
It was
kind of fun. Before we get into all of the big news, still a DC property, but what are you thinking of Lucifer so far?
I like it. I mean, I've enjoyed this season. So far we're, I think, 5 episodes in right now. Maybe 6. I'm not 100% sure. I can't remember. but I mean, we're more than halfway done with the season because there's only 8 episodes. So, I mean, it's typical Lucifer. So, I mean, it's what you expect, I guess. But I'm enjoying it. What about you?
I'm 2 episodes in. Yeah. And I gotta say, I thought the first and second episode, the first episode I thought started a little slow.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it because I was so excited to have Lucifer back.
Right.
But both my wife and I were like, well, that just seemed, and then the second episode seemed to start a little slow. It's like, this doesn't seem normal. By the end of the second episode, you're like, I cannot wait for 3. We almost went right to it, but we had things to do and we're like, right. It really seemed to pick up from there. I'm really excited for it. Can't wait to talk about it later this week. We'll have it done by Wednesday. So for next Monday's show, we'll have Lucifer out, but.
Yeah, we'll be done.
Really enjoying having him back, and Tom Ellis is. He's awesome, this one.
Yeah, the problem is, you know, like you usually say, it's like we'll be. You wait a year and you're done in a day, and then you're waiting another year for more. I guess we get the second half of the season. We won't have to wait a whole year for it, but.
The second half is supposed to be this year, 2020.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We won't have to wait.
So, John, it's only a few weeks, or it could be 17 weeks, you know?
Right. It could be a week or, could be a week or 17 weeks.
Oh, all of the stuff that we're going to be talking about with Fandom, though, is all of these dates, or not all of them. There weren't a ton, but anything that's 2021 just seems so close because we're just so desperate for it. It's like,
yeah.
You know, like the Batman.
Oh, see, I disagree. Like, I think it seems so far away.
Really?
Because it's like, we're waiting for stuff now, you know?
And right.
It's like, oh my God, I gotta wait another. Again, 2021, at the minimum, is 3.5 months away. And then.
That's why,
you know,
people
most
come to
are,
our podcast, John, to tell them exactly where they are in history.
most of these are not coming on January 1st, so.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
To me, it still seems like, oh, we've got a ways to go, you know. We're waiting forever for anything new.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I look at half full.
I know.
You know, I'm excited. I'm like, 2021's right around the corner. And it's, I am disappointed about a bunch of stuff, whether it's a DC property or anything else, it's getting pushed back years. Like, even the Star Wars stuff getting pushed back. A couple of they haven't even.
It's years, right?
Years.
It's not even months. Like, it's years. Yeah,
you know, and that's all disappointing to hear about.
Yeah.
But speaking of Disney, and Star Wars and stuff. Did you hear Disney Plus is rumored to have an adult section coming?
I saw that this morning, actually. I saw a headline. I didn't read the article. I'm dubious on that.
Look at you dropping the big words.
I know.
I gotta look that up. What does dubious mean?
I'm like
mean?
A thesaurus. Yeah. Yeah. I'm skeptical. You know, I don't know that – I just can't see Disney ever putting R-rated content on their service unless it's gated somehow behind
– It said it
I
with
mean,
a
it would have to be
code.
Behind parental lock.
Right. It said with the passcode. That was the article I read.
But it just seems – it still seems so off-brand, you know.
Doesn't
like
it?
Even putting it behind a – like I said, even putting it behind passwords, it just feels – not Disney.
Right.
Now, again, they own those properties, so...
Right. It's not like they don't produce stuff that's adult-oriented.
Well, right. And like I said, they now own Deadpool. And Deadpool is a revenue stream that, you know, I can't imagine they want to completely abandon. So I don't know. It's... I mean, anything's possible. But I'm just really skeptical of them ever doing R-rated content on their service.
I hate to say it. I agree with you.
Yeah.
My first impression when I read that was pretty much exactly what you said. I felt like even with a passcode, I mean, you and I remember what it was like to be a kid.
Well, yeah.
You
how
wanted
many
to
kids
break
don't
those
know their
passcodes?
Parents' passcode? Yeah. How many kids don't know their parents' passcodes? Because we all use the same things for everything.
I know.
So it's like, oh, what's the alarm code to get in the house? All right, let me go punch that into Disney Plus. Oh, wow, look, I can watch Deadpool now. You know, so it's like super easy to get into any of that stuff.
Right.
So,
and that's why I feel the same way. Like, but do you think that the overall public would care?
No, I don't.
So that's why I think it has a chance of actually happening, because I don't think a bunch of parents are going to cancel their Disney Plus subscription because they feel like, I only got that because I felt it was so safe.
Oh, yeah, I don't.
I
agree. We're so ambivalent as a society towards, like, you know, 3-year-old kids are watching porn.
What are you
going
to English
on
class
phones,
on Sundays mornings?
You know?
Look at you, ambivalent, dubious with that.
Yeah.
Where is
you know
this
what I'm
stuff
saying?
On Wednesday nights?
Like, you know, we have toddlers watching porn on their parents' phones nowadays, so I don't think they're worried about Deadpool, you know?
Right. But it's funny where you have those two things, you weigh those two things, it's like Disney is so pro, like, family.
Right.
And it feels wrong that they would have even a section with a passcode on it, but at the same time, the only people that care is Disney themselves.
Exactly. It's how much they want to preserve their own image, I guess. But
think that's only that, like I said, it's only an image to them. Nobody else cares about it.
Right. Well, but self-image is important, right?
Right.
So,
oh, yeah.
They have a corporate, culture that they're trying to maintain, regardless of whether the public cares that much about it or not.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're built on a certain foundation. But, you know, like you said, they've owned, like Disney at one point owned, like, Miramax Films, who definitely, I mean, they put out Clerks, you know, back in the day.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like Disney has never been associated with R-rated content, but it's always been through, like, subsidiary companies. Like, for the most part, the general public didn't realize that Clerks was being produced by a company owned by Disney. But when it says Disney Plus, like, there's no masking that. Like, that's clearly Disney. So, they used to kind of be able to operate in the shadows, you know, a little bit like Batman. Now this is right on Front Street, so.
Wasn't Pulp Fiction Miramax, too?
Yeah.
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 So will that be on Disney Plus?
Yeah. Well, they sold that. I mean, they sold Miramax years ago.
Yeah.
But they've been involved with R-rated content in the past.
Right.
It's just not something that they've put on their, like, under the Disney banner. So.
Right.
We'll have to see.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
I mean, they have gone on record saying, I thought at least, that they were going to continue to produce, like, Deadpool movies and let them be R-rated.
Yeah.
So, Again, whether that's going to go out under like the Fox banner as opposed to, like, I don't know exactly how they're going to do that or how much they're even going to try to maintain that distinction. You know, only time will tell, I guess.
Is it still Fox, or did they call it like 20th Century?
Didn't oh, that's right. It's 20th Century. Yeah, it's 20th Century. It's not Fox. But again, maybe it comes out under the 20th Century banner, and maybe a lot of the public won't connect the dots, you know.
Cause,
I mean, not everybody is as involved in this stuff as we are and actually pays attention to the fact that Disney bought Fox. Or it only matters to us because of the comic book part of it.
Right.
You know, a lot of the general public still might not know or care any of that stuff or even give it a second thought. So
yeah. So, all right. Do you want to get right to it?
Yeah.
I have no trailers to play. Actually, there were a ton, but I'm not going to play all
the trailers.
There
were a ton, yeah, but anybody that cares has seen them.
Let's get into let's get into DC fandom. And what do you want to talk about first? There's so much. There was actually a lot of stuff.
Well, I'm looking at – I just have the announcement page pulled up, which is basically goes in line with the schedule order.
Right.
So I figured we would just kind of – you know, all we could just kind of – run down the list that way. So I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of it, and I know we'll comment a little bit more on that at the end, but I watched about 6 hours of it. So I didn't see the end. I actually didn't see any of the Batman stuff at the end, but I played it at the store. So I think it started around 11, which is right when I opened. And then I left at 5 o'clock. So I actually left right after the Snyder, you know, the Snyder Cut trailer. And then I didn't see the rest of it. Now, I've watched the trailer for Batman, which we'll talk about later. But I watched it, like I said, I watched a good chunk of it. So, And obviously it started off, the first panel was the Wonder Woman panel, Wonder Woman 1984. So, you know, we got that panel. No spoilers on how Steve Trevor came back.
No.
But, you know, and then we got the second Wonder Woman trailer. So I'm sure you've seen all of these by now.
Yeah, I watched a lot of them in my theater afterwards, and they came out.
Yeah, I watched
them.
Really
nice.
I came home and watched them again, you know, because like I said, I watched them at the store, but I came home and watched them again on my system too in the evening. And, yeah, they looked really good. So Wonder Woman, you know, a lot of footage was reused from the first trailer, but there was quite a bit of new stuff too. And obviously the big reveal was Cheetah.
That's,
you know, fully transformed.
Even Jen saw that one and she was like, this looks good. And Kristen Wiig, she was like, who is that? And I go, that's Kristen Wiig. And she started cracking up. She goes, oh my God, now I see it. She's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, the trailer, like this movie looks fantastic. I think this was a great trailer. Probably the last one I'll watch, you know, before this comes out. Which this is scheduled tentatively still for October.
Right.
So we'll have to see how that goes. But
it's like 6 weeks away.
Yeah, I think the action. I think this movie looks great. I am a bit underwhelmed with the CGI for Cheetah though. I thought like body wise it looked great, but I thought her like I think they tried to make her still appear too. Kristen Wiig.
Like cats?
Like, they wanted her to be a little bit too recognizable as a human face. And to me, it just looked a little funky, you know?
Right.
I don't know. And again, it's just, you know, one still image from a trailer. So, but I mean, this movie's been done. Like, there's no more post-production happening on this movie.
It was supposed to be out
what you see is what you get. Yeah, I mean, this movie's been done forever. But you would have think somebody would have watched Cats and gone back and redone the CGI. So hopefully, I'm hoping it looks a little better once we get to see, you know, really see it in action. But the one still image that you can kind of see that they've captured and put online, she looks too human, like too much of a human head on a cat body, you know, and I was underwhelmed with that, unfortunately.
I thought that fight scene that they had in the trailer was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it looks great. Like I said, the movie looks great.
Right. Anytime you take a still of these movies, it's tough.
Because I agree.
Remember I said that about Titans a while ago, like before the first season came out, and you saw some behind the scenes of Hawk and Dove, and you're like, this looks horrible. And then you see it with the correct lighting and everything, and it's filmed right, and it's a lot better. Now, I'm not saying a trailer shouldn't, there's not a lot of post-production going into a trailer after the fact.
Right, because you saw what you saw were stills from like pre-production. This is the finished product, so
like I said,
what we see is what we're getting.
It actually wasn't stills that I saw; it was actual them walking around on set, but they were in costume. But it was it just wasn't. You were like, those costumes look so hokey. But then when you saw them in the actual finished product with the correct lighting and everything, it looked great. But I kind of had that feeling as well when I saw the trailer, but at the same time, by the time you get to that part of the trailer, you're so excited, the emotion is you're like forgiving of that stuff, and I have a feeling that by the time that comes up in the movie, it depends on how much they play it, but I have a feeling that the movie will, you'll be so involved in the movie, you'll be okay with it.
Well, and I get the sense that that's the... That's like the finale of the movie, right? Like, I would imagine 60 to 70% of this movie is Kristen Wiig as herself, like leading up to the transformation. And that was probably like the finale, you know, because you had Diana in her golden eagle
that was
armor,
cool.
Which looked cool. Like when she kind of like shrugged off the wings, that was awesome. And, you know, the whole Barbara, what did you do to yourself thing. So I think that – I don't think we get a ton of her as Cheetah through the movie. It's probably in the last 25%, I would imagine, of the movie. So we'll just have to see how that goes. But overall, I was really – I think it looked great. So
yeah. What did they – I didn't see the panel. What did they
– caught the – well, that was – I came to it a little late, so I missed the first half of the panel and
– they usually don't give out anything.
Yeah, they didn't really give out a whole lot. Like, it was just them all talking about kind of like their experience of being back filming, you know, and how much fun they had and all that stuff. But, I mean, they didn't really talk in detail at all. And none of the panels, really. They didn't really go into too much detail about the movie itself. They just kind of talked, like I said, about the experience, and then they played the trailer. Like, each one of these panels were pretty short. Like, they were all 15 to 20 minutes apiece, where, you know, like, in an in-person Comic-Con, like, most of these panels would run for over an hour, you know, and you would probably get a little bit more.
But people pay money for detail. That, too.
Right.
You know, and they're paying money to have the guests there. So it's, you know, you're not flying in all these people to your, whether it's San Diego or Boston or Houston or wherever, and these people show up and you go a 15 minute, you'd be pretty upset.
Right.
So, I mean, like I said, we'll wrap up everything with all that afterwards, but they were short, obviously pre-recorded everything and they just blasted
it out.
Yeah,
the whole thing was pre-recorded.
Speaking of that, did you notice as it went through, a lot of the pre-recordings, it was – those people weren't even – some of them, I should say. They weren't even talking to each other. It was like scripted.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. Some of them I think were
– you know what I mean? You like almost separately. Like you and like I each, would record – you'd record your half and then I would record my half off of your half later. And, you know, edited like you would do a movie. Like one guy's in Mexico and the other guy's in Seattle. But look, we made them both look like they were in Louisiana.
I think it was done in pieces.
Yeah, some of them,
for sure.
But
yeah,
it was still pretty cool. What's the next one on the list? You've got
the next panel that came was the Gotham Knights panel for the video game.
Oh, okay.
This looks fantastic.
Does it?
Like, I'm not a big gamer. You know, we've talked about it before. Like, I've got Spider-Man I've had for a year and a half, and I'm like, maybe halfway through it, if I'm lucky, you know. I don't play a lot of games, but like this thing had me salivating to play this game. You know, there was, a 2 or 3 minute trailer, but then they had like 7 minutes of like gameplay footage.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, they made it clear that that the gameplay was from an alpha build, so definitely not finalized, but still looked great. Yeah, this game looks like a lot of fun. You know, it's set in the kind of like the Gotham Arkham, the same universe that like all the Arkham games were done in.
Yeah.
Which I didn't play any of those games, so I don't really know. But Batman is supposedly dead, and this focuses on like the family. So you play as Robin, Batgirl, Nightwing, or Red Hood. And it's kind of like the post in Gotham post Batman, you know. And yeah, it looks great. If you didn't get a chance to watch that trailer, it was I think it was the best trailer we saw all day.
Oh, really?
The trailer for this game looks fantastic.
I haven't seen. I didn't watch any of the gaming stuff because I tried to get as much as I could of everything else. And when I had to do something else, it's like, okay, I don't have, because I'm like you. I'm not a huge gamer, so I'm not like. I mean, my son is, but I'm not big into it. But like you said, it's like I was big into Spider-Man. That was the last big game. And same thing. Right. I'm like 40% into the game, if that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But yeah, if it's that good, I would definitely pick up something like that just to get 20 to 30% into it, just to have some fun with Batman or Red Hood or something, you know, and have a good time. But yeah.
I'll probably pick it up. It's due in 2021. It'll release for.
Isn't everything? All
the, all the major platforms. But this is PS5.
Yep.
Specifically, but there's a PS4 version as well. So, I mean, whatever you have, you'll be able to play this on.
Cool.
So, all right. So the next panel was the Suicide Squad.
Yep.
Which was basically the cast reveal. So you had,
that was cool.
Yeah. You had James Gunn, you know, doing like a Brady Bunch game show kind of thing with the cast.
Right.
And then, you know, the trailer was like, there was no actual trailer for the movie. Like, the trailer was just the cast reveal. So we got to see who all 16 members of the Suicide Squad are.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, there's a ton of people. And honestly, most of these are characters that you've never heard of, you know?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you know who Harley Quinn is. Like, the returning members are Harley, Captain Boomerang, I think Rick Flagg, Amanda Waller. I think those are the only four from the original movie. And then everybody else is new. But, you know, you've got Idris Elba, John Cena, David DeSmalchin, like all these people.
Nathan Fillion.
Sean Gunn. Nathan Fillion, who looks ridiculous with the mustache. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's rocking there. Peter Capaldi, which was one of the Doctor Who. Michael Rooker. So, you know, a little bit of the Guardians of the Galaxy cast here with Sean Gunn, Nathan Fillion, and Michael Rooker all back. So,
John Cena.
Yeah. John Cena. Was he in Guardians?
No, he wasn't in Guardians.
No. Okay. But yeah, this looks fun. You know, from what we were able to see, which was really just the, you know, a little bit of each.
Did you see the behind the scenes stuff?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. You got that was more fun than the
That's
reveal.
Right. That's where you got to see at least a little bit of
the Nathan Fillion.
And the fact
and
that
John
I
Cena,
guess
too.
James Gunn says that apparently he's the new Michael Bay because this movie has more stunt effects than any Marvel movie ever made put together or something he said. So this is just all Michael Bay with a couple of lines of dialogue thrown in.
Is this the one where he said, was it him that was talking about, like, we shoot people in the face, we shoot them in the groin, we shoot them at, like, people get shot off. No, like, he just kept listing all the places they shoot people. I think
I didn't hear that. Yeah. Maybe it was. I don't remember hearing that.
I think that was. Yeah. But when I see this list, and like you said, you could just go right down, it's like 16 people, 16 stars.
16 no stars.
Less, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of deaths.
Well, that's what I was talking. I was talking with somebody in the store yesterday while we were watching.
We're going to see 10 deaths in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's no way you can give 18 characters screen time in a 2-hour movie. So my guess is like Team A goes out at the beginning, which is like 8 people, and they all get killed. And then Team B has to go out and save them all, you know?
Right.
And I think that's how you get 16 people in a movie because it's just way too many characters.
We should come out with like a Bright Side bingo card and yeah. have all the people, and like you just shuffle on the different squares, and like as the deaths go, it's like if you get a card that has them in a row, you win.
It's like, right.
Be like, oh, look, these five in a row right here. They all died in a row. What are the, yeah, who's going to die? How soon are they going to die? Because there's no way they're all making it through the movie.
No, but you like, you know who's
write
not
enough
gonna,
dialogue.
You know who's not going to die, right? Like Idris Elba's not dying in the beginning.
No,
Margot Robbie's not dying in the beginning.
No, not Margot Robbie, but you can't guarantee. I would say, Margot Robbie would probably be the only one you could guarantee isn't going to die. Maybe Amanda Waller, Viola Davis. Maybe. Yeah. But she does die in the comics. She's died. So
yeah. But I think you need, if there's ever going to be a sequel, like you need Flag and Waller and Harley. Anybody else's, even Captain Boomerang and stuff are all expendable. Right.
But, like, and I would say even like a, you know, an Elba could die, because that would be like, imagine it's like, hey, we have Elba. It'd be like, what was the executive decision? Remember Executive Decision with Kurt Russell and the...
Oh, vaguely, yeah.
Oh, what the heck's his name? You know, they did all the karate guy. I forget his name off the top of my head.
Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No. He was...
Chuck Norris.
No.
Jackie Chan.
No.
I'm just going to keep throwing out karate guys. I don't know.
No.
Kung Fu. David Carradine.
No. No, his, Steven Seagal.
Oh, Seagal. Yeah. Okay.
You remember him at the beginning? There was an executive decision, right? And he's like, and he died in the first 5 minutes. Spoilers for anybody that hasn't seen Executive Decision.
Yeah,
but he was named like in the movie. And then when you went and saw it in the theater and he was like, what was his last line? He goes, I'm not going to make it, but you are. And he closes the door and you're sitting there in the theater going, Steven Seagal just died?
Yeah.
Like in the opening scene of the movie? I thought
Marlon Brando died in the first 2 seconds of Superman, so.
Yeah, but he wasn't Superman.
No, but he was like the big name to get people to go see that movie, and he died in the first 2 minutes.
But that
wasn't a surprise.
We all knew. Yeah. That's true. Everybody knows who's that. But you know what I mean? Like everything, like John Cena could die in the first 5 minutes. Any of these people. And like if you killed off Idris Elba right away, they'd be like, boom. Everybody like, wow, I just think this movie looks like a lot of fun. The behind the scenes, it looks like they're ramping it up. A lot of these things made me want to go back and watch the previous ones. All these trailers. It was just, this one looks good.
I think it does. I think it'll
they
be
all
fun.
Do. I'm going to, spoilers, everything we're going to talk about, I think all looks awesome. I can't wait. Yeah. So what's next?
There was a surprise panel. Which turned out to be the Milestone Comics panel. You had Mark Bernardin hosting with Dennis Cowan and Phil Lamar and some other people that were involved in Milestone Comics. So Milestone Comics is being revived in September of 2020. They're bringing back Static Shock in a new ongoing comic. So this is, you know, like Jim Lee alluded to, one of the first, this is a digital first release. So, all of this stuff is going to happen on digital first and probably be followed up with either single issues or trade paperbacks, to come later on for the stores. But, you know, I mean, I wasn't a huge Milestone Comics fan back in the day. But I know Static Shock is a very popular character. So a lot of people will be real excited to see that.
Cool. I didn't see that one. Yeah. I didn't, cause I knew it was a surprise one and I was like, like I said, I had a lot of stuff to do, but that sounds cool.
Right.
And that's next month.
Yeah. Next month.
Cool.
Yep. All right. The next thing on the list, of course, is the elephant in the room. This is the thing we all tuned in for, which was the Snyder Cut panel. the first big bit of news with this was the format. And looks like we're getting 4 1-hour-long episodes. It's kind of like in the middle of what we were hoping for, you know, because we heard either a 4 hour.
Just kidding. Yeah. I don't know. That's what we don't know yet, but.
But we heard either a 4 hour movie or 6 1-hour episodes. So we're not getting 6 hours, but we are getting the episodes.
No, I thought it was 6 40 minutes. It was a four-hour movie or 640s. Now we're getting four 1 hours, which I think is even better.
Yeah, it's good. The only thing with that is that you know that when you get to the end of hour one, you're going to be like, I just want the whole thing right now.
Right.
So I imagine this is a month-long thing. I don't think we'll have to wait
weeks
in between.
That'd be funny if they dropped it monthly, though.
Yeah. It'll be every Sunday for, I imagine every Sunday for a month.
Right.
So same type of thing. Like the panel itself, like they didn't really give any information. Notably missing from the panel was Jason Momoa. Like every other star did a little intro question. Basically, they were reading fan questions to Zach to answer. And everybody appeared but Jason Momoa, which I'm surprised because he's usually the first one to be anywhere. But, there was a lot of talk just about the movement, the Snyder Cut movement and how this whole thing came about. And then, of course, we got, the trailer, which was, 2.5 minutes or so. Trailer opens most notably on Darkseid, which we hadn't seen before. And I thought he looked great. We had a revamped Steppenwolf, which I thought looked a lot better than what we got in the original movie. Everybody got their 30 seconds or so in the trailer. I think it looks great. I can't wait.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know I saw like a bunch of different scenes that were like fresh.
Oh, yeah.
From almost like each character, really.
Right.
Including, what do we get? Iris.
Yeah, we got to see Iris, who was cut from Joss's version completely.
Yep.
We got Iris. We got new scenes. Yeah, pretty much new scenes with every character. There was no dialogue at all in the trailer until like the very end, where Affleck, has a line, but it was all cut, to Alleluia.
Yeah.
Which.
So, what did you think of that?
The
song playing like. All the way
I love
through.
That song.
So I, do I, didn't,
I. I'm not a huge fan of this version of the song, but I love the song. And yeah, I thought it was like I don't know how it was appropriate to the movie specifically, but I didn't mind it.
At first, I thought I clicked on a wrong link. Like I thought I clicked on like a fan thing, and I was like, "What? How could I have gotten the wrong thing?" And I'm like, "Because I didn't see this one live." And it's like I came at it this morning and I'm like, what it's and I'm like, did I go? And I went back in and I'm like, all right. And I didn't like it at first. And then as it played out, I thought it matched up well. Some of the dialogue actually matched up with what was going on the screen.
Yeah.
And then of course you get drawn into the movie and you're watch or the trailer, but everything that's going on and look, and I've watched this trailer multiple times. Yeah. But it was, I think it looks really good. And I love when you said the format, I thought you were talking about the screen. Did you notice that?
Oh, like, well, yeah, it's
the
not
format
of
the screen. It's not widescreen. It's actually like the old 4x3, which is
right. It was letterboxed. So even when I tried to pull up, like the HD trailer on YouTube, it was still letterboxed. So
yeah,
I think
the other way. Yeah.
It just hasn't been released,
Well, he's going with the taller screen.
Yeah,
the IMAX taller screen, which is that's why it's that big. So that's going to be kind of cool on HBO Max too.
And still, this is an early production still. So,
right.
Who knows? Again, just this is more for you and I than anything. But by whatever date this thing gets released, HBO Max better be showing something in 4K.
Yeah,
I mean? Because like this thing on HBO Max only. I don't want to be underwhelmed by the presentation of it.
Right.
Obviously we'll buy the disc when it comes out 6 months later or a year later or whenever it comes out and watch it, in 4K with Atmos or whatever he does. But like, I don't want to be underwhelmed by having this on HBO Max, which is my biggest fear of all of it. It's not even so much whether I'll like the movie or not. It's like that I'll be bogged down with the presentation of it.
Yeah. No, I know. And that's the thing. My rant with HBO Max, and it is, that would be a huge disappointment. I got to imagine although we...
This might be the first release on HBO Max in 4K. You know, like this might usher it in, hopefully.
Hopefully. Every time, like, I follow Cord Cutters, that it's like a website that just always updates. It's a news website about all stuff like this, right?
Right.
And every time I get a news feed, every time I get an update, I want to look and see HBO Max getting 4K or something. And you're like, nope. It's very disappointing, but.
Well, they've got anywhere between 3.5 and 15.5 months to get it, to get it worked out. So.
I'm hoping. And honestly, early in I expect 2021.
See, I don't. I expect this to be like a November release. You know, I don't know why. I just have a feeling this is a late year release. We're probably a year away from it right now, because again, he's still got work to do. So
we'll get into some of the other stuff that's coming out with HBO Max and stuff. But I'm sure they're pacing out their year too to keep people, you know, tuning in.
Well, and you want it to be right when, like, when did HBO Max launch? Right, like October
this year.
No, it was this
June,
year. So
May,
June. Yeah. So I mean, you're gonna want
it's
it
only
to be
a few months old,
right? But you're gonna want it to be after all those free 1 year subscriptions end.
Oh, that's
so. I don't think we get this till at least July, right? Because they want to get your bucks. Yeah. Like they want you to sign back up. So
that's a good call right there. Yeah. And that's disappointing because I was hoping to get that earlier.
Yeah, I can almost guarantee you that we don't get this until everybody's 12-month trial ends.
But that only gets you one more month, though, to be honest.
It does. You're right. You know? It does. It just gets you – if it was to come out in mid-July, most people are going to sign up for 30 days and
– See, what I think the Snyder Cut's all about, it's – obviously, it's a new version of the actual movie itself.
Right.
Obviously. I think this is the whole new universe. This is going to play into Flashpoint. This is going to play into HBO Max series that are going to be based off of this. It's going to play into the Batman. I think they're trying to, and from what I experienced this weekend, I feel like they're getting pretty successful. I feel like it's going to be successful. Yeah. That they're integrating a world here that's going to be pretty fun. With HBO Max and the movies, very similar to Disney Plus and the MCU. And we're very lucky. I mean, this is so much fun because to have those two entities, especially even trying to compete against each other for our eyeballs.
Right.
I'm really excited for it.
Yep.
All right. What else we got?
So the next thing was the Black Adam teaser trailer.
Yeah.
Which was really just, it was more production art than anything. It was animated, so it wasn't a true, like, you didn't get a true image of The Rock in his costume. But, I mean, it was pretty close, right? Like, this was the animated version, and I imagine it's pretty much what it's going to look like. I think this looks good, you know. I mean, I like The Rock. You know, I was skeptical about Black Adam helming his own movie, and I still am to some degree, but I don't know. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really like one of the things I saw was The Rock saying he's like about like he's been a fan of Black Adam for a while and he liked his origin story and the fact that he even mentioned like he was a slave.
Right.
And I liked that because I want them to go. That's one of the things that I liked about the character is when you went back and it's like you get his motivation for who he is. And that's a pretty big part of it. And the fact that they're going to include that, it sounds like anyways, from what you read and hear, it's like that's what they're going to include in the movie. So it seems like they're going to be pretty faithful. And it looks pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It does.
Everything you hear, you know. Kind of excited for that one.
Yeah, looks good.
And it's good to see that, you know, The Rock's got some work.
Yeah. I know. We mentioned that last week. I'm glad to see he's got a new gig. Him and Jensen Ackles. Both going to be busy. So the next thing, we got another video game trailer for Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. Again, this looks really good.
I just mentioned it, not a huge gamer, but also this looks a lot of fun. Looks like you get to take control of each member of the Suicide Squad and, you know, I guess you're playing single player and then the AI controls the rest of your team, or you can co-op it with a bunch of other people. So yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. Again, I wouldn't be as excited for this one as I was the Gotham Knights, but, you know, if I had a PS5, this one notably does not list PS4. It lists PS5, Xbox, and PC. So I think this one will be PS5 only. And it's not slated until 2022.
That's so why, probably. Yeah. By then,
this one's a little way. Right. By then, they're going to hope everybody's transitioned to the PS5.
Exactly.
And then, last but not least, we had the Matt Reeves panel, for the Batman.
Yep.
Now, again, I didn't see any of this panel, so the only thing I've seen on this is just the trailer.
I didn't see a panel. It was just Matt Reeves.
Oh, obviously. Was it?
Okay. Yeah, it was Matt
Reeves. I don't know. I didn't see it. So.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was Matt Reeves and the woman that was on, she kind of interviewed him. She used to be on DC Daily.
Oh, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
I do. Tiffany can't remember. Smith.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
So and that was one of those ones where she actually did interview him, but they were obviously in different places. But that whole setup that they did, the virtual reality thing that they put him in, was pretty cool. But it was extensive. A lot of talking with like little information, but enough information that like he talked about the show that's going to be on HBO Max.
Right. Gotham. PD or something like that.
Yeah, it's like I can't remember the name of it, but yeah,
I think it's Gotham PD.
Is that the name of it?
I think so. I think so. But yeah, did he mention if that's going to focus at all on Gordon, or is that just going to be?
It's focusing on year one of the Batman,
right?
Okay, so and it's basically going to, from my interpretation of what he was saying, it feels like it's going to focus on the underworld and their reaction to Batman showing up.
Right.
Now, that'll probably mean minimal shots of Batman, if any.
Yeah, I don't expect him to be involved.
Right, but everybody's
I'm wondering if it's going to be like
him.
Bullock and Gordon. Because, I mean, I don't know how you do a PD, like a Gotham PD, and you don't have Jim Gordon there. You know.
Right. And this comes out before the movie. The HBO Max series comes out before the movie, and the movie is, as of right now, slated for October.
So this is kind of a prequel.
It's a prequel, yeah. And this is where I get into that whole, like, they're creating this universe where it's like, okay, so you watch this here, and you get information. So by the time we get to the movie, The Batman, we're going to already be, like, you know, deeply involved in that world already. Right. And that's pretty cool. I think it's a pretty cool way to give us a bunch of backstory so they don't have to do it in the movie.
Right.
You know, and I honestly think, is that maybe the first time somebody's done that? I can't think of another movie where they brought you in first.
Yeah, probably so.
With a TV show like that and literally said, this is the prequel.
Right.
Cause that's what he said. It's the prequel to everything. So. And the movie is going to be Batman Year 2.
Right.
Is what they're saying. So it looks really,
I'll be honest with you. This is the trailer that I was the most whelmed by. You know what I mean? Like, I think of everything we saw, this is the one I'm the least excited for.
What did it look like? And sound like?
Well, I don't know.
The Crow.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he's definitely got that. Well, he's got that Crow vibe too in that one scene with the, the blackout. You know, the black on his eyes, which
under the mask he'd have the black, but his face is even like paler. And they end the trailer. Isn't it like they end the trailer and you have that piece of hair coming down over his eye, which is almost like the Crow's eye?
Yeah, that's true.
But even long before you got that, I had that whole Crow vibe from the opening. Cause even his boots, if they were just untied at the top, it would, like when they showed him walking on the ground and the music that was playing felt like the music from the Crow, from the soundtrack, right? And then just the darkness of everything. And even not even any of the scenes with Robert Pattinson or anything, some of the other characters, it felt like the Crow world.
Right.
And I was like, this is like really weird. And then they end it where he actually does look like the Crow. And I was like, wow. But it really felt like the Crow. And I agree with you. I'm a little bit whelmed.
Like, I think he looks fine. I'm not in love with the costume, though. Like, I don't like the cape and the collar, kind of. Like, I'm looking at some of the stills now. Yeah, not in love with the costume. I think, like, his performance, from the little bit we got, like, we didn't get a ton in the trailer, but he seems fine. Like, I don't have any issues with him. I don't know. I think it's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think it's going to be a good movie. But the trailer just left me not blown away. You know.
See,
I think it's the costume. Like,
really?
I really don't like the
costume.
The
doesn't
neck.
Bother me.
I don't like the way that cape looks.
Yeah.
Just bothers me. Yeah. The car. Well, I don't know. I think the car looked okay to me.
Yeah, it's not a Batman car to me. It's like but all of this stuff, this is obviously Batman Year 2, what we're seeing right. In the trailer. I think a lot of it, the costume, the car, anything that we're not liking or we're a little whelmed about is going to all be taken away when we watch the series leading up to it. Because I think the series is really going to build the anticipation to the movie. Then by the time you get to the movie, you're going to want more series after that, or you're going to want the sequel if they build this right. And it feels like, just by what you're seeing so far, it feels like that's what they're shooting for here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was really – like there was a Flash Season 7 panel – I guess it was a panel, you know, we talked to the cast of The Flash Season 7. There was a bit about the multiverse, and that brought in Ezra Miller and a little bit of talk about his movie. There was a reveal of his costume for the Flash movie, which is a little bit, looks a little bit,
closer to
the Flash than it does in the, you know, from the Snyder movie.
Now, my question for you, when I saw that, I was like, oh, I can't wait to ask John. Do they tie it into his appearance on The Flash CW?
Well, it's somewhere along the line they mentioned that up until now, Grant Gustin has not been contacted. But, you know, obviously that's a big open, like, I think they would love to do it, you know, because they did talk about how Ezra appeared in the, you know, in the show, of course. And
but you don't even have to have Grant Gustin. It could be a line.
Don't.
He could just be like, you know, he could show up and have, oh, speaking of which, because we're talking about the Flash movie right now, right? Not the show.
Okay,
so the Flash movie and people talking about Ben Affleck making an appearance. And I thought, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, hashtag dork. Podcast put out on Twitter over under at 1.5 minutes, which I thought was like a dead on number because you're like, where is he gonna? It's like, that's a tough number to pick on either side, but you could have Ezra Miller's character saying to like Ben Affleck, but like in a new costume, and have Affleck go, oh, new duds, and he's like, yeah, I saw a buddy of mine wearing it, and I just and that would, we would all be like, yeah, that's all, you know, because it's all intertwined now.
I think it's the other end of the scene from.
That's what I said on Twitter,
BBS
too.
BBS
yeah.
or whatever it is, right?
Right.
Where, you know, you have Flash kind
the time
of
travel.
Through the dream sequence or the time travel scene to Bruce Wayne. I think we see it from the other end, and that's, you know, that's how you get Affleck. It's just my guess, but.
Yes.
I think that's probably what is the case. But, you know, again, it's just confirming the. You know, we got the existence of the multiverse through the shows on CW, but, you know, we're going to have Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne. We're going to have Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne. You know, maybe they even tie in, like, if they're really cheeky, they'll tie in Robert Pattinson and throw a cameo with him in there.
Right.
Just to weave it all together.
That's yes. Definitely think they'll be doing that.
And I really think that Grant Gustin will probably reciprocate and appear somewhere because, you know, again, it just ties everything. It just keeps everything tied together. So,
right. And that will be the nail that creates the multiverse of between HBO Max and then the cinemas, cinema movies, you know. That's going to make it fun. And that's what's funny is we've been hearing about that for a few years.
Yeah.
That the whole Flashpoint idea is going to create this multiverse. And here it is. But a lot of people are thinking like, oh, they're doing this retroactively. Like, oh, let's fix everything. When we've been hearing for a few years that this was their plan all along.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and.
I mean, I'm sure some of it has evolved over time based on reactions. But yeah, we've been talking about the Flashpoint movie for at least 2 years.
Yeah. I like – there was maybe a quote from the director, Andy –
I can't remember his name.
Andy it was an Italian guy.
Yeah.
I think. But he said something about like it's important to get to the heart. It's like he wanted – it's a time travel story and he wanted it to be like – he wanted to like pull at the heartstrings. And I really liked that idea and that made me think like this is going to be – these movies are going to be different than what we're used to so far for DC movies. And, you know, I'm really excited, really hopeful for this.
Yeah, me too. I mean, everything looks great. You know, they announced the title for the – second Shazam movie. Which escapes me now. I don't have
Fury of the
down.
Gods.
Yeah, I don't have it written down. But yeah, it seems great. Obviously, they're only in the title stage, so I don't know where we are with that. But
Did you see the panel when they were with Zachary Levi and all the different characters?
No.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah. Like, he starts out, Zachary Levi is great. He starts out and he can't say anything and he starts taking questions from people.
Right.
And the questions are like, you know, some lady in Canada and it's like, will there be a DC cameo? And he goes, sorry, can't tell you anything. And then next question, sorry, can't tell you anything. And he just keeps going like that. Then they bring people, then all the characters come on. It was pretty cool, but they can't tell you anything. And, right. I don't even – oh, Sinbad. Supposedly Sinbad's in it.
Oh, geez.
And Sinbad was in the panel, but he was supposedly he's saying that he was rumored to be in the first one. So I don't know if he's actually going to be in two or it was just a joke because he was supposed to – people thought he was going to be in the first one. And it was pretty entertaining, the entire, exchange. But let's see. What else? Oh, Flash Season 7.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer for that?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
This is season 7 and every single season of The Flash feels absolutely hopeless.
Yeah.
like every single time it's like you and it's funny because The Flash compared to Arrow when they first started out, The Flash was the lighthearted one that was supposed to, you know, and it was brighter, happier, a happier tone than Arrow, which was dark and dreary and everybody was down. But there's always so much desperation on the Flash shows that you're like, you never know if they're going to make it, but you know they're going to.
Right. They always do.
They always do. And it's like, I mean, I remember a couple seasons ago, we thought Iris was gonna die. And I'm like, I was legitimately like, are they killing her off? I was like, are they going? They do a great job at, you know, roping you into that and making you actually feel like this character might not come back. Then they do.
Yeah, well, because again, everybody but the Flash is, you know, is expendable to some degree, right? So at some point, you know, they've killed off main characters on shows before, so you never know exactly. But yeah, you're always pretty sure that Barry's coming back. So
yeah. I got a couple. Did you see any of the stuff on Titans?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. So we have Blackfire's the bad.
Yeah, and I saw Red Hood. I saw
Red Hood. Scarecrow, Barbara Gordon, all going to be in season. What's this? 3 now.
Season 3. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing, what do you think about Red Hood though? About Jason?
It's too soon.
He's not gonna die.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I don't know how they're doing it. Obviously, it's going to be a much different arc than what we got on the in the comics, because there's no Joker, there's no there's no way to re. I mean, the Joker is alluded to in the show, but we've never seen him. So
right, but the way they set it up in the you know fandom, I think it was the director or whatever, and he used the quote of. He said, I think there's a quote or something about the child that isn't embraced by the village will return to feel – the child that isn't embraced by the village will return to burn it down to feel the warmth.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, right? I'm probably butchering that bad.
Right.
But he was saying that while they were – that was like they showed him, and then the voiceover went to Jason Todd on Titans leaving the group. Remember, he took off right. on the motorcycle?
Yeah.
And they show that scene like – I'm like, well, that's not how he becomes Red Hood.
Right.
So are they – which – I mean, that's totally within their right, and they've done that with a lot of these characters.
Oh, yeah,
it's a different,
do.
You know, universe. But are people going to be cool with that?
Yeah.
Do you think the majority of fans are going to be like – because everybody wants Red Hood.
Right.
But they want the Red Hood. They don't want just a Red Hood. They just want the right one. So it'll be interesting to see how that's handled and how people handle it with easy for me to say. With whatever they do.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. It depends on how they do it. You know, that show has been pretty good so far. You know, and it's taken some liberties with the, you know, with the characters already. So, I mean, shows do that. But
yeah.
It just depends on the right. Like I said, so far the show, the writing and everything has been good. They've done a pretty good job with everybody and stayed pretty faithful to their comic book personalities. So, we'll see. We'll see what they do.
I can't wait for full-on Nightwing.
Yeah.
Because we haven't gotten that yet. We know
Not
he's
really,
there.
Yeah.
We just saw a glimpse of the... costume, but we haven't seen him in it yet, right? I forget the
no,
end
we
of
did.
The season.
We did. The season finale, he was full on Nightwing.
Was he?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. But yeah, him being full on Nightwing for the season is going to be a blast.
Yeah, yeah. Going forward, I think, yeah, can't wait.
And did you see any of the Harley Quinn animated stuff?
No.
With Kaley Coco?
I didn't even know they had... I didn't even hear anything about that.
She did an interview, right? As Harley... It was animated. It was Harley sitting there. And she's like sitting down in Indian style taking questions from people.
Right.
And I can't repeat what she was saying on this podcast because she went off. And they were beeping her out like crazy. It was like everything. She goes... People would ask questions, and obviously it was all scripted. Nobody actually asked these questions because she insulted some of these people. It was awesome. She's like, what a stupid beep question. It's like, it was so good, but she's sitting there, and if you noticed, I know you didn't see it, but right to her, well, to her right, but if you're looking on the screen, it was on the left side. She's sitting up against a wall, like a brick wall that was a short brick wall. And on top of the little wall next to her was her mask.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for wearing for, like, you know, COVID.
Right.
But it was, like, half red and half black with a diamond, and you saw half of it. But it had the little bands that go behind the ears.
Right.
It was pretty cool. I was like, I just noticed it sitting there.
Pull it up online and watch it. I don't know, but any confirmation on a season 3, that would be the big news, right?
That was one of the questions, and she said, well, she goes, I hope effing so, and she's like, you know, it obviously, I thought just by the entering, like, DC fandom, when you clicked on the little, and you go down the hall, and they have all the voices going, one of the most prominent ones is hers.
Right.
From the animated series, so I'm like, that, and the fact they gave her this whole...
Right, I mean,
here.
It has to bode well for a season 3, I would
it's
guess.
It's so popular with people and having that, you know, I think they're going in that Deadpool direction with her and getting her out there in the animated series. Everybody loves that series because it is so much different, especially for an animated series.
Right.
I hope it happens. So funny. Yeah. Anything else?
No, those are the big. Those are the big headlines that I can think of.
That's all I had for headline. Oh, and I, Patty Jenkins. I made note of how to say Gail Gadot.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
I always butcher her name, but she called her Gail Gadot.
Yeah, I always thought it was Gadot, but
yeah, that's what I did too. But now
she said that. Yeah, I picked up on that too, actually.
And I'm like,
I was like, oh, that's not how I say it, but I guess she knows how to say it, right? Because they're friends.
That's probably why she hasn't returned our calls to be interviewed on the podcast.
Probably now that I know,
right. I'll ring her up right now.
Leave her a message and say her name,
hey, right. Gail Gadot. Now, right. Will you come on?
Yeah. Say my name.
So what did you think? We said we'd wrap up with this. What did you think of the overall experience of fandom?
I thought it was garbage, to be honest with you.
Like, really?
Yeah, I did.
Why?
This was built initially as a 24-hour experience, right? Which
right.
really turned out to be an 8-hour experience on a loop. Three times.
Right.
But this was about an hour and a half worth of meaningful content and 6.5 hours worth of filler garbage. Like, I thought most of this was just garbage. Like, I didn't think most of what they had on there was entertaining or useful at all. It was just stretching between the couple of things you wanted to see and those things that you wanted to see were fine, but I thought the whole experience itself was really pretty bad. I just thought there was too much stuff that nobody cares about and too much filler stuff. So, that was my take
on it. Okay. Mine's the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the funny part, and this is why we're us.
Yep.
I agree with everything you just said. But I still, how else do you present all of the stuff that you wanted? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have, go to any Comic-Con and most of it is garbage.
Oh, I get it. Right. I get it.
But
I'm not having to sit there like for 8 hours and watch it. Like, that's the difference. Like, you pick and
choose
what you
want
to do.
But they gave you a schedule so you can come in and
of course.
I followed along. And I thought it was great because once I figured out the schedule and I was like, okay, now I can be here for this. And then you come back. I just left my laptop on with it playing and I made sure to come back when I could.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty cool. And knowing what it is now, if they were to do this again next year, I'd be more invested. I would actually set this up in my theater and pop in and out
for
the panels I liked.
I really got the 8 minutes or so I really cared about. On YouTube, I could have watched the three trailers, you know, and that was all that really
That's funny.
Was interesting to me.
See, yeah. I would have enjoyed a few more panels that I missed. I would have sat it because they were quick. So if
they were 15, 20 minutes
right.
tops.
So yeah, you could. And I thought the other thing is I thought you would have liked it because you could play it in the store. And I thought it was great content playing in a comic book
store.
But
that's the whole thing. Like if I wasn't at the store and had it playing, I would have had no interest in the majority of what was going on, you know?
Right.
Like, I had it on, and I watched most of it because I was there, and I had it on. But I wasn't riveted to any of it, you know, except for the trailers and the couple of panels that they had.
Right.
Even the panels, like the James Gunn panel, really I thought was not that entertaining at all. Like,
no.
I had no interest in that game, like what they were doing. I just wanted to see
like
the
Wonder
trailer.
Woman game where they were, what was that one called? They did like a game on that one that I was like, all right, I ducked out for that.
Yeah.
But
there was too much of that stuff that wasn't really good. And I don't know. I thought there was too much stuff that I just didn't care about.
So should they do another one?
I mean, I'm not their only audience, so like, I guess it depends on what the reception was to this,
right?
Which I don't know. I wouldn't be up for watching it. I don't think I'm going to tune in 2 weeks and watch whatever.
I've
got to
see what
on.
They have. It didn't
because I don't even
I
know what
really
they're doing,
right?
You know, because they're everything they have to announce, they've just announced, right? So
right.
I don't even know what this second fandom event is.
other than an interactive experience where fans can participate.
Right.
Know? But, yeah, I don't know if I'm down for it. So, I don't know. Like, sure, they can do it again. It's just, I'm not going to be into it. Like, I might not, I'll just watch the trailers on YouTube later. You know, I don't even know if I'll tune into it. So.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. And yeah. If I had known it was like this, basically what I mean is if they do like a Fandome 2 next year right. with the same idea, I would actually schedule my day around it. And I would be like, okay, this is how I'm going to sit down. And I agree with you. A lot of it is filler, but you have to do that. Otherwise it's a 1 hour episode and it's over. I mean, right. This is supposed to be it's a hype machine for DC. And I thought they did a good job with that, with the way they paced out what you wanted. Yeah, they opened what with Wonder Woman. I mean, and I thought for sure we were going to get the Snyder Cut at the end.
And yeah, that was like which the, they got like it was third about or halfway thing. Through. Yeah. Well, it came right at 5 o'clock because, like I said, I left pretty much right after right. that. So, you know, it was 6 hours in to their 8 hour.
Yeah.
Show, which but I think it ran a little things. Bit longer than 8 hours. I'm not exactly sure, but
yeah.
There was a lot of stuff that happened after I stopped watching, and it technically should have only had like 2 hours left. So, either they crammed it all in at the end or it went long. I don't know exactly, but.
Right.
But yeah, cause there was still some stuff that, like I said, I didn't see any of the Titan stuff. I didn't see any of the Batman stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the next one, but I don't know how much content. I think that's going to be even more filler for us.
Yeah, because at this point, unless we're back into production on things, I don't know what they're going to be announcing next year, so.
No, I mean in September.
Oh, you're talking about the one in a couple of weeks. Yeah, I don't even know about that one.
Yeah. And it's funny, I already have a job scheduled for that day. I know I'm going to be out most of the day, so I'm probably going to be doing the same thing. Like, I had a lot of stuff scheduled yesterday, so I was like, okay, what do I do? How much can I catch? But they did a lot of the encore stuff. But what I didn't like is they ran it 24 hours, like you said. And it's like, well, if you're going to do encores, why don't you start the encores the next morning? Why do you have to have encores at 4 a.m.?
Right.
Because I can't make that. I got to sleep. So.
Well, but, when would the next one have started? I guess it started around 7 p.m., right?
What do you mean?
Well, the first encore would have started the loop again around 7 p.m., right? Because the first 8 hours, it went from like 11 to 7. And then it probably went from 7 to...
There was new content all the way to like 9 o'clock.
Was
last
it?
Last night, yeah.
Okay. Well, 8 o'clock, my time. 9 o'clock, your time. That's right. Why I'm saying,
right.
I think it went,
right.
I think it ran a little bit longer than 8 hours.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, so, technically, it should have started looping again right after it was finished because it was supposed to be three.
Right. But that would
loops.
Run stuff like, I think, I can't remember one of the panels.
Yeah,
that
it
would have really
gone from 9 p.m.
to
like
4
5 a.m. Right.
Right. And I was like, what the heck? How am I going
to
see that?
But then in theory, it started again at 5 a.m. this morning. And what you wanted to see probably would have happened around 10 o'clock in the morning. So you could have caught it then.
Yeah. You know? Some of it wasn't. Let me look. I'm looking at the schedule right now. It's like the Snyder Cut, Justice League Titans panel.
It's probably going on right now, right?
Nope. It's over.
Or it just ended, right? It would have ended around 11 a.m. this morning.
Right.
So.
Well, that's how I caught Batman. Right. I caught the Batman one this morning, or right before we started recording, because that ended right at 1 p.m.
Okay.
Here.
Right.
Noontime, your time.
Yeah.
So, but, all right. That it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Do we have anything coming up big? I know you don't have your notes in front of you.
Three Jokers.
That is big.
Yeah, Three Jokers comes this week, so that'll be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a couple other ones written down, but yeah, that was days
ago.
That's
the big one.
So I don't have my notes in front of me, but yeah, Three Jokers is the big one.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So, all right. We will be back on Thursday, probably talking a little bit about Three Jokers, of course.
Yeah, I would imagine.
But what'd you guys think of Fandome? Did you see it? Did you ignore it? Do you hate it like John or love it like me? Let us know on Twitter at @brightside_chat. Or you could email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Any and all messages will be forwarded to John by me. And you can check us out on the Nerdy Legion, along with all the other great podcasts. And we have a new podcast. Did you hear about that one? There's a new podcast just got added, and it's by two guys that own a comic book store.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's pretty good. They're pretty good.
File my copyright.
They're pretty good. It's like I wanna talk to them.
Yeah.
I listened to their latest podcast. They sound just like you, John.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, their latest podcast, they talked about the whole DC snafu, everything that's going on. And I said to Martin, I said, they sound just like John. I go, and their podcast talks a lot about the stuff that you and I talk about, but they talk about stuff that you and I would talk about off the air.
Okay.
It's more in-depth comic book store owner stuff. Shop Talk is the name of the podcast I just listened to. So, yeah. So there'll be more information. I'm trying to see if we can get them on our podcast to interview them and stuff, because I think you and them will get along really well.
Yeah, maybe so.
So pretty cool. Pretty cool. So, but we'll be back on Thursday. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.